you got your Bibles this morning and turn to with me in Jeremiah, verse 50. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. We have to know who we are. And we have to know how God sees us to be able to come to that saving knowledge of who he is. Paul said very plainly that I don't know of anything in my life that's a problem with God, but he says that doesn't make me acquitted. He said God gets to examine me. God is the one, not man, but God examines me, and he's the one that puts me on the right path. And so many of us, I think, in our world today have got this wrong idea of who God is and who we are as we stand before him. But listen to these words. It says, my people, and this is the time when they, God allowed the king of Babylon to come in and take siege of all of Israel and take them into custody and be king over them. And now they're prophesying against Babylon. But in this prophecy against Babylon, where God is now going to punish Babylon, he's punished his children, but using Babylon, and now he's going to turn around and punish Babylon. But this is in verse 6. It says, my people have become lost sheep. And understand, when we're talking about a lost sheep here, we're talking about his people, we're talking about the nation of Israel. He considered them as lost sheep. And their shepherds have led them astray. Very important. You better start paying attention to who you're listening to. Their shepherds led them astray, but that did not allow them to experience the punishment of God. You see, we don't have to follow leaders that are contrary to God's word, and we don't have to adopt all the things that the world tells us are right and that we're insensitive. I'm not insensitive. I'm to be righteous. And if my righteousness makes me insensitive, then so be it. Now, we can be insensitive in how we act, but they're trying to tell us what we believe is what makes us insensitive. You see, we have leaders in churches all over where the pastors are standing up this morning to make their congregation feel good. And Satan is working in those congregations. He's presenting himself as an angel of light to deceive those so they think that they're okay with God, so that when they stand before him, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And that's not God's fault, because God wrote that in there. That's what's happening. And if we don't look at the scripture and pick up the scripture and say, are you talking about me? When you begin to pray in the morning, the first thing you should do is pray, God, tell me and reveal myself to me, for I know not my own heart. And that's in scripture, that we don't know our own hearts. But their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains, and they have gone along from the mountain to the hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. If we are not careful, and we have to grab this, we have to understand this, how important this is, that if you're not in the Word, and the Word is not in you, and that's the key, that the Word is in you. And you're not denying yourself daily, you're not putting on the armor of God, you will be led astray. That's the only thing that can happen to you, is that you are going to be led astray. And see, we are so, I guess, deceived, or so blunt to getting this and not hearing this, is that we approach God the way that we want to approach him. And we live our life the way that we want to live. As long as we throw a little glory his way, he gets all the glory. By the way, we learned in Sunday school that we are his workmanship. It's all about him. You see, and they were deceived. Their leaders, they listened to men who now led them astray. And God said, wait a minute, I've written holy scripture. There's no excuse for anyone to be led astray. There's no excuse for anyone to go to hell. There's no excuse for anyone to sin. None. None. Wow, that's too black and white for me. Wait a minute. You don't understand my life. You don't understand how rich I want to become. You don't understand how I want to move up the ranks and promotion and have power. You don't understand how many kids I've got. You don't understand how hard it is to work. It's supposed to be hard. That's part of our punishment. Work is supposed to be hard. Did you read? You will earn the living by the sweat of your brow. You see, we have gotten so far from God's word, we don't even know what it says. We've listened to too many folks to tell us that it says this or says that. I don't care what you think. You better start knowing. People tell me, oh, I think God says this, or I think this is what that means. Well, you're in trouble. You are in absolute trouble if you start thinking about what God says. You've been deceived. God wrote this so that you would know. We can know. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to live our life in a fairy tale thinking that, oh, wow, I'm doing things that God wants me to do. He tells us what we're to do. He gave us a manual for life so that we would know. And these leaders, they stopped looking at the Holy Scriptures. You stop looking at the Holy Scriptures and you stop applying the Holy Scriptures to your life. It's going to be in a shamble. You don't know. You may not know it. That's the hard thing about it. They don't know it. They didn't know they were lost sheep. They didn't know we were. How are they going to know they're lost? Unless someone tells them. Well, you have to look at the character of a sheep a little bit. Sheep are probably the most dumbest animals on the planet. He didn't call us sheep because we're gentle. He didn't call us sheep because we look pretty and we were white. He called us sheep because without a leader, without the right leader, we will go astray. That's our nature, is to go astray. Oh, I won't go astray. I've been coming to church for 50 years. Oh, you can't lead me astray. I read my Bible every day. Well, Pharisees and Sadducees did too. Matter of fact, they had it memorized, and I'll bet $100 here right now, and I'm not supposed to bet, but I'm going to bet it anyway because this is what, what we understand is human stuff. I bet $100 you don't have the Bible memorized. They did. But there is no truth in them. He goes on to say they've forgotten their resting place. Don't ever forget who you are, how you got there, and what your purpose is. And the greatest purpose is to worship God. And when worship doesn't mean anything to us, if it's not the most important thing in our life, then we don't have that relationship that this Bible talks about. If that's not your goal, to make worship the most important thing in your life, then you don't have the walk that the scriptures talk about. Because, man, once you understand the truth of this book and who you are and what you are before Almighty God and that He grafted us in, you can't wait to get here to worship Him and prepare to worship Him. See, all, and then in verse 7 it says, and all who came up upon them devoured them. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty. You see, this world is eating folks up. Sin has become so rampant. Our nation is so far from God. The pestilences are going to come. The disasters and natural disasters are going to come upon our land, just as he described it in the Old Testament to the people that called, oh, we're your chosen people, God, but we're going to live our life. We're going to worship who we want. We'll just give you the time of day when we can fit you in. The pestilence and all the struggles that we're seeing in life are going to get worse because I've read the rest of the scriptures and it tells us how bad it is going to get in the end times. And we are so deceived and saying, well, it's not going to happen. See, even the end time is it's going to be like in the days of Noah, where they'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And so what that means is, even though truth stood right before them that God was going to destroy the whole world, Well, not in my lifetime. Oh, it doesn't affect me. But when the water got up to their neck, they're like, whoa, wait a minute. And this is what the scripture says, that they won't know until the Son of Man, the trumpet is sound, and they see the Son of Man coming. And then you don't get to say, oh, wait a minute, I believe in God now. I mean, no, they understand that the judgment of God is at hand, and it's too late. That's why I'm supposed to preach the way I'm supposed to preach, is because I'm warning you, because God's warning you. You may not be a child of God like you think you are. You might have been deceived because you rose in church. You said a prayer when you were little. You had some man tell you that you're okay with God. Well, you're not okay until the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And you're sealed by Him. It's not your works that prove that you're a child of God. Nobody can prove that they're a child of God by what we see you doing or not doing. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that full, total, spiritual circumcision that has to happen in someone's life, that is the only thing that proves that you're a child of God. And then there should be some natural actions from that. Your life has changed. You're no longer to walk in the manner of your old walking, but you're to walk in a new manner of life. All who came upon them devoured them. They went through the adversaries. They were under this king's rule. They were mistreated. And they said, we're not guilty. As many as they have sinned against the Lord. They have sinned against the Lord. You have sinned against the Lord. If you don't come in here and worship with the right attitude, you're sinning against the Lord. You're as equally as bad as that murderer, that person that's living a lifestyle that's contrary to God's word, that one that's murdering babies, the one that is in drugs and immorality. You are just as guilty. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in church. I didn't put on a tie. If you didn't prepare for worship, you're guilty of sin against Almighty God because you have not presented Him as holy. It says, where two or more gathered in my name, I'll be in your presence, and we come in here, it's like He's not here. I expect Him here every time I come here. I'm hoping there's one more person. I hope there's one out of all I see here that come. See, we want to look at everybody else's sin. We don't want to look at the sin of the church. I'll tell you what, God, I think probably has more of a problem with that sin than the rest of them. And I can bear that into how He took Moses and punished Moses. Moses, here's this poor guy, went through this all these 40 years in the wilderness. I mean, being obedient to God in most everything that he did. Not everything, but most everything. And he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. He disobeyed God, and he didn't show God as holy. And I'm telling you, if we don't show God as holy, people are going to be deceived. That's why he did all of this. Because his holiness comes first, and out of his holiness came his love. His love didn't come first, and then he become holy. He was holy first. And then out of that holiness came his love for us. As much as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness. That means the place of a dwelling. God expects righteousness. Not what you think is right, but what he has told us is right. And our lives are to gravitate toward the righteousness of Almighty God, not our righteousness. Look at Psalms 119, 169. At Psalms 119, 169. Listen to this. When you realize where you stand before Almighty God, listen to this. Let my cry become before you, O Lord. My soul is at unrest, not my physical unrestness, not my physical disasters by the decisions I've made or the raining on the just and the unjust. We're not talking about the physicalness here. We're talking about the spiritual, that you cry out to Almighty God knowing that you're hopelessly, helplessly lost and that you have come to that point. The Holy Spirit has brought you to that point through the discipleship training from the Holy Spirit, not from some university. The university cannot make you a child of God. The university cannot even give you the revelation of God. It'll teach you the history of the Bible, and it'll teach you what man thinks about the Bible, but only God can give you the revelation. I don't care how many theology classes you take. Let me cry before you, O Lord, and give me understanding according to your word. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever prayed, God, give me your understanding to your word? Or are we so arrogant in our world today that we already know what God thinks and what he wants? And we've been deceived if we think that's the truth. Listen to this. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. See, you can see the transformation here of from us to him. It's only you're the only one that can help. You're my only hope. My supplication come to you according to your word. In other words, I'm not asking about my own things and my own deliverance for my own physical needs and my own fleshly desires, but the spiritual need that I have. And then it turns into spiritual desires to live in righteousness as God has described it in his word. Let my lips utter praise. Oh, I don't like to sing. Well, you know what? God didn't ask you if you liked to sing. God didn't ask you if you could sing. And if there's not a melody in your heart that comes out of your lips that people can hear, you got to ask God why. Why is the praise service not as important as the message? It may be more important than the message. Do you not want to praise God? What's the problem? You see people in their pews. I'm glad I'm in church. The joy in my heart. Ain't no joy in your heart. You deceived yourself. If there's joy in your heart, you're going to sing at the top of your lungs. And because we don't know truth, and because we've all been deceived, we don't come with that kind of melody. He said, sing a joyful noise unto me. For you teach me your statute. Who teaches me? Who's teaching you? Where are you getting your ideas? Where are you getting this from? I want to know, where are you getting it that allows you to have the attitude you have about God? What are you getting it? It says right here, you teach me your statutes. Let my tongue sing. Oh, there's that singing word again. Let's sing of your word for all, not just the ones I want, not just the ones that make me feel good, but it says right here that all your commandments are righteous. See, God, we're pleading, let your hand be ready to help me. Please, God, let your hand help me. Let me know that my soul is at rest in your arms. Let me know that I walk without iniquity. Let me know that I have the Spirit within me so that I might not sin against you. I bear to say that righteousness is not on our minds at all. But that should be the focal point of our every breath, is to be righteous before Almighty God as children of God. This is not a Sunday thing. He says, but see, for I have chosen your precepts. He's come to that realization and that revelation that he has a choice. He wasn't making a sacrifice to God. He wasn't giving his life to God because he has no life to give to God. If you're born dead in your trespasses of sin, you have no life to give to him. Religion says, I gave my life to Christ. Relationship says, I gave you life. Now I will perfect that life for my service, and I will work through you to accomplish my purpose and my will. But you choose to keep my commandments. You see, that's how this works. This is not what's being preached. It's not what's being taught. Because it's not popular. Because it's not what we want to hear. And I realize that because the Bible says there's going to come a time where people will put people in power in the preaching pulpit there to tickle their ears. To tell them how good they are and how proud God is of you. Oh, we're so thankful you gave your life and you sacrificed. Oh, we're so thankful. Oh, the church is so proud of you and we pat you on the back. God's only proud of his son. He's only proud of his son because he was obedient to his word and kept every commandment. Something we can't do. But he's given us every help to do that. Because he's given us a new nature. And I've said it before. He's also given us the heart of God. He's given us the mind of Christ. And he's given the power of the Spirit to make a choice. When you sin, it's a choice. A bad choice, by the way. Anytime you sin, you can't blame it on your old nature because that old nature, you're dead to it. Remember we talked about that last Sunday? You're dead to the old nature, and we got to start living our life as if we're dead to the old nature. See, we don't like this because we're not asking God to perfect us in the Spirit. We think we can do it in the flesh. He goes, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. In other words, the laws of God is the only thing that is now satisfying. That empty void that's left in me that we're born with. And they're a delight. You know when something's delightful? Don't you enjoy it? Something that's delightful? Is the Word of God delightful? Is coming to worship delightful? If it's not, you better ask God why it's not delightful. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been coming. If this is not delightful and the Word of God is not delightful and the fact that you get to praise and worship Him with your singing is not delightful, you're in serious trouble this morning. And this, you better get this Psalms out and you better read it and you better meditate on it and you better ask God, make my life like that. Let me see what this guy saw. Because if you don't see what this guy saw, you don't have it. We too long dress up and we act like children of God and act like Christians. Well, that's for the actors in Hollywood. He wants us to be natural. He wants us to be true to who we say we are. And it wasn't only that. It says, my laws are like, let my soul live that it may what? Somebody tell me what it says. Praise you. See, those that come to the saving knowledge of God and walk as God can't do anything but want to praise God. And this is a holy day because He designated as holy. And our gathering together today is holy. Not just something you do. And let your ordinances help me. He wrote this to help you. He didn't write this to shame us. See, I'm in despair because I realize what I am. But his salvation doesn't leave me in despair. He delivers me from the wrath that's to come. It delivers me from the despair, my wretched heart, that old nature that I've born with by just the iniquity of my parents. And then he goes on and admits, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Please seek your servant. See, there's too many people seeking the Lord when the Bible says no one seeks him, no, not one. Religion tells you to seek after religion, seek after God. This gentleman says, peace, seek me, O God. Jesus even came and said, I come to seek and save those that are lost, not self-righteous. Make sure it's because you have begged God to seek you in your lostness is the reason that you now know the true God. Because you don't know the true God if he's not sought you. And if you've not begged him to seek you. Because no one seeks after God, no, not one. See, we already said it's got to be under his word and his statutes, didn't we? Didn't we say that? So you have to seek God in the way he said to seek him. And that's with a broken heart and a broken spirit. You can't seek God. You can't please God in the flesh. Or the Bible's a lie. See what man has done to this word? See how man has deceived all the people? And only few shall ever find it. Because they're willing to accept truth and not live their life on a lie. See, I'm going to find out what I am now. Because when I stand before him, it will be too late. There is no mercy and there is no compassion in Almighty God when you stand before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. No compassion. No love. Okay? None. We better find out now. We better find out now. And we'll get into Galatians maybe next week. Maybe, I don't know. I just, whatever God has, this is what we get. Galatians 4, 6 through 11. He says, because your sons of God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I call him Father because the Spirit's within me, not because I've decided he's my Father. And we've talked about this before. He's the Father of creation. Okay? But does it make him related to him? You have to be born again. For he has to conceive you in the Holy Spirit and seal you with the Holy Spirit for you to be a child of God. We even learned this morning, even those people that believe, he gives them the right to become the children of God. So see, it's not even our belief that saves us. It's the faith that he gives us. And where does faith come from? From hearing. Hearing God. How do you hear God? By the word of God.